And it was about a man in the during the time frame there where God was silent. No one had heard anything from him. It was the Dark Ages. Nothing was happening. There also was no rain. And there was this man that believed in God, Brother Larry. He's an old sage, and he knew of the miracles. He had read about them, studied them. And the people of this town that was in drought, and things weren't looking good for them. They were all fixing to eat the last little bit that they had. They called on this man and said, "We want you to come, and we want you to pray." So the man finally came, and he came down to the valley there where the town was, the little village there, and he had in his hand a staff, and he took that staff, and he drawled a circle. And when he got done with the circle, he stood in the circle, and he began to pray for rain to fall in that circle. And he prayed, and the people were all there, and they were waiting on something to happen. Brother Chuck, nothing happened yet. And he just began to make his prayer more fervent. "Lord, you know that we need rain from heaven." And then all of a sudden it began to sprinkle. And he said, not for this. This rain's not what I've prayed for. Not for just a few little droplets from heaven. But a rain that begins to fill the voids that is inside of the that's in the ground. And it began to rain a little harder. He said, "This isn't the rain that I've prayed for. I prayed for rain that's going to fill the cisterns, that's going to fill the rivers, begin to fill the lakes." And it was great droplets of water that began to come at such a rapid place, at a rapid time, that all of a sudden all the people began to run from the village up to the mountains because it was raining so hard. After it had begun to pour in a torrential downpour, he's still standing there. "This is the rain that I have prayed for. One that's going to touch the hearts, the lives, and the souls." Amen. There was some folks here tonight that we got us some circle makers. They drawled a circle and they stood in there. And I seen the Spirit of the Lord beginning to move. Amen. I want to encourage you, church. Don't get out of your circle. When you stand before God and say, "This is where I need you to meet me." Amen. I just wanted to share that short story with you. That's not counted against my time. I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to stand strong. Stand for the truth. Stand for the Word of God and let Him begin to minister to you. Because there are going to be times where you feel like you're in your circle and there's no one else around. But let me tell you, you are not alone, because you've got an audience, amen, with the throne room of God. What we find, as Brother John was preaching this morning, we have that eternal priest. We don't have to go and wait and try and see who the next one's going to be. We know who he is. You know, how many of you all here tonight have your favorite bank teller? Raise your hand if you got a favorite bank teller. You like to go in and know the face that's taking your money, right? Well, imagine being like the children of Israel. They go to service one day and Jim's up there and he's the priest, and then they come back, you know, a year later, Jim's no longer there. It's now Joe. Why? Jim fell short. We serve a God. Amen. He is the author and the finisher. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 11 tonight. Amen. Lindsay, if I get to going too long, wave the red flag. I'll shut her down. Praise the Lord. When you have it, if you stand with me tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 11. Amen. Some of you young people want to come on up to the front. That'll be okay for tonight's service. Amen. If you feel young in heart, come on up. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Lest Satan should get an advantage. Now, how many of you all like it when you're in line, in a restaurant, and you're waiting to put your name and the amount of folks that are with you in, and then all of a sudden, somebody walks in, go on past you, hey, hostess, there's three of us, and the name on the ticket is Cisneros. I've had that happen to me, not my brother Larry, I'm just picking on him. You feel like you've been taken advantage of. That you have been what? Cheated. Well, let me tell you, who here tonight wants to give the devil an upper hand on you? Anybody? Any takers? That's what I want to preach on for just a little bit here tonight, is divine defenses for the devil's devices. Amen. Because the devil has his arsenal full. He's not lacking anything. Let me tell you, he's more faithful to church and prayer meeting than you are. He is. He knows who's there and who's not. He knows when you're sleeping in church and when you're awake. He knows when you go to the bathroom 500 times in the middle of church. Oh, I said that out loud. Listen, I have a little kid that went almost 8 hours. We didn't have to stop once. Man, that's something. We will allow so many things to come between us and God. I'll let you sit down here in just 1 second, but I want you to get a hold of this. And when you're up, you're upright, you're looking at me because you're wanting to sit down, I've got your attention. There are devices that are in this world, amen, that are in your life, that begin to take control of you, that have been put in place by the enemy of your soul to cause, amen, some deception in your life. I want to talk to us about divine defenses. Now, how many of us like to be able to defend ourselves? You know, a lot of us are carrying something. Because we want to be able to what? Defend ourselves. I don't go places with just one. Sometimes I go with two or three, Brother Chuck, because I just never know what I might come up against. It might be a bear. I want to be prepared, don't you? Amen. You can be seated. Matthew chapter 10 and 16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I want to take a few moments and I'm going to go through these pretty quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the devil's devices, but I want you to know that they are real. Problems are real. Relationships are real. Situations, Brother Jason, in my life might not seem real to you, but they're real to me. So you'll have to go ahead and forgive Brother Lucas if I get a little too real tonight. Just say amen and pray for me. Because that might have armor up there, but I'm not wearing armor in here. When we come into the house of God, it's a place where we can set our armor at the door. We can allow the Spirit of God to begin to pour in the oil and the wine and begin to bind us up, begin to build up the defenses, amen, because if we're not prepared, if we don't have the defenses, amen, we walk outside the doors because we are going to be attacked. Amen. First thing I want to mention is division. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, how many likes whenever you're on a basketball team and all of a sudden you've got the ball and you pass it to one of your buddies and next thing you know he passes it over to the other team? There's a division there. There's something that is broken. Now, how many in here has ever had a broken bone? Got a few of you. I know Brother Robert's had probably more than all of us. He's even lost a few ends to some saw blades. Broken. I've actually broken almost every one of my fingers and broken my wrist. Had a dislocated hip. Had lots of injuries, Brother Chuck. And none of those injuries felt good, because they were all divided from where they were supposed to be. So if you say, well, division's not a problem. All right, tell me one of your fingers that you can do without there, Titus. None? Oh, Grant's offering his pinky here, Brother Larry. You're pretty good with that. You got your chop card. Division! As the body of Christ, the enemy of our heart, our life, and our soul wants to get in, amen, in the midst of us in our church. Here, scoot over, girls. And divide us. See how fast they moved? We knew I was coming in. That's the way it happens sometimes. When the enemy of our soul begins to try and drive a wedge in the midst of a church that is unified, all of a sudden, all the enemy's got to say is, here I come, and we part ways, and then all of a sudden, there's nothing but division, strife, amen, there's nothing but problems. We've got to be wise up and realize that one of the greatest devices of the enemy is division amongst the church. Amen, whenever you begin to hear something about someone, and so, instead of sharing it around the room, how about we go to the pastor? How about we go to the individual, amen, that is accused, and say, listen, it's time to wake up. Why? Because you might be the very answer to the saving of soul, amen, that's in the midst of a battle. London, are you with me? All right. Next thing I want to talk about comes from Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I want to talk for just a minute about distractions. Distractions. There are so many distractions. Where are my distractions? Here they are. Okay, distractions. What are you all looking at? Huh? I'm up here. What are you guys looking at? The Spirit's moving right here. Where are you going to the bathroom for? The Spirit of God's moving up here. Why are you headed out to your car to get a breath mint? The Spirit of God's moving right here. Those things are all funny, and we chuckle, and we can think of different ones that have that tick. But because we think of those people, now listen to this for just a second. You are so mindful of them and their distraction in your mind that you have now just disconnected from the Spirit of God. Anybody going to help me for a minute? Distractions. Thank you, sweetheart. We allow someone, when they move, it breaks us. Because all of a sudden we got out of our circle that we were trying to get God to work in. Come on now. And we have all of a sudden launched out in total distraction because we have allowed one of the devices of the devil to take root and take hold in our life. Amen. If all of a sudden I came back from in yonder, that's in the fellowship hall, in case you guys were wondering. Here in Oklahoma, and yonder's that way. I came back in here, Brother Larry, and I was dragging something on the bottom of my shoe. about 3 foot long and white. He would all be distracted. There would only be probably one or two of you that would try to step on it and be like, I'm going to save you the embarrassment. But I guarantee you everybody would be cracking a joke about it. Why? It was a distraction. It erupts our current motive, our current motion. Whenever service starts, our primary goal should be to make it to this altar. But so many times we are distracted by either someone else in the house of God or something that is outside the house of God. Amen. I can tell you how many times I've seen people, amen, around this time of the year, they're so glued to their phone because of the sports activity. Sorry, Brother Robert. Amen. All of a sudden, they're so distracted. Oh, work just emailed me. I got to check this. Well, how about the Holy Ghost that's trying to check your spirit and draw you into a closer relationship with God? Now, this is also a twofold point. Not only to the ones that get distracted. Now, pull your toes in. How about the ones that are being the distraction? I'm not going to spend any more time on this point. We've got to realize the enemy has a goal. He's constantly looking for someone to be his automobile, but also as the Spirit of God. Because this earthen vessel is meant, amen, for the power of God, not the powers of this world. Let us awaken and realize that there is, amen, destruction that comes from the enemy. Number three comes from Matthew 13 and verse 25. It says, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants to the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy, get this, this is Jesus speaking, an enemy hath done this. The servant saith unto him, What then? Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? I'm going to stop right there at verse number 28. The third thing that he uses, one of the devil's devices, is disillusion. Does everybody know what disillusion means? I'm glad some of these young men are honest. They're going, Disillusion means the condition of being dissatisfied or defeated in expectation. Get this last part. And in hope. Disillusion. Well, Lord didn't come by and touch me like I needed him to tonight. Nobody came and placed their hand on my shoulder to pray me through my circumstance. We allow disillusion to creep in. Because let me tell you something. The moment that you have that thought, realize that this is an attack of the enemy trying to cause division. All of these hinge on each other. Because the enemy wants you to lose hope in the sacred place. He wants you to lose hope in humanity. He wants you to lose hope that there is a better tomorrow. He wants you to become so disillusioned in the house of God that you're so discouraged with going to heaven. Well, if it's anything like it is here. Am I talking to anybody tonight? You say, well, how do you know these are real? I have lived in every one of these positions, Brother Jason. Find the story didn't end there, but he said, Nay, lest you gather up the tares and you root up also the wheat. Let them both grow together. Now realize there are things in your life that you are going to be so intertwined with that if you don't wake up and realize the disillusion that is there, you'll begin to pull out all the things God's trying to do and just say, I'm going to throw it all away. And then whenever your field is empty, you are opening yourself up to the enemy of your soul completely. I want to encourage you, church, that in the midst of a disillusion, that is your chance to realize that it's a device of the enemy of your soul. Find yourself in the presence of a holy God, in His presence, next to your pastor and pastor's wife, and say, listen, I need this one word that is so hard for us to ask for. Sister Bethany, I need help. I need someone to pray for me. It's easy for me to say. You say, well, it's easy for you to say you've never been there. I've been there. More times than I'd like to count. Because I'm human, I'm willing to take my armor off so you can see. There are devices that is set against you. Amen. The last thing, I got two more points on this, and I'm going to go very quickly on these next two. Next one comes from Jeremiah chapter 20. And he says, verse 14, he says, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. What was Jeremiah going through? Is he expressing joy? He was expressing depression. Depression isn't real. Just because you say that doesn't mean it's not. I have been depressed. I have been at some low points, Brother Chuck. I was there not too long ago, Brother Larry. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone. I shared this message with him probably 3 months ago. I've had this message for quite a while. I've only shared it one other place. It wasn't even in this same fashion. It's kind of funny how that works. But I shared part of this message with him, Brother Larry, and I was discouraged. I was depressed. I was low. This is Brother Lucas just being honest with you. Well, Chuck, I called him. Things in my day had not gone my way at all. And he said, you remember that this is a tactic of the enemy. He said, and don't stop on that point. So we're going to move on. Depression is real. It isn't, honey. You've got to acknowledge the issue so that you can be helped. There, Jeremiah wasn't the only one that faced depression. How about David? David fought it when he was there at Ziklag. Everything was burnt. Everything was gone. How about Jonah? Sitting out there underneath that little bush, and all of a sudden he said, God, go ahead and take me. It's all worthless. It's all for naught. The whole town of Nineveh got saved, and here I am. Elijah. God, take me now. I'm the last prophet. Am I talking? Am I in anybody's field, or I'm still in just Brother Lucas's? Depression is real. But it's a tactic. It's a device that the enemy likes to use. Amen. Next thing comes from John chapter 10 and verse number 10, just the first part of this verse. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I'm just going to read that portion, that part of that scripture. That's what the enemy wants to do. He doesn't want life. He wants devastation. He wants death. He wants to steal your joy. You got anything in your pocket, Titus? No? What do you got right here? Let me see that. Come get me. How about you, Brother Chuck? What do you got there? What have I just done? stole Titus's shoe, and he's devastated. Look at him. He doesn't have enough vip and vinegar and zest to come get it, though. Chicken! You're next. What happens? That's what happens. I'm teasing with him. I stole something that belonged to him. And he lost all of his vip, all of his zip, and all of his energy, because he didn't have it anymore. He only had half of what he used to have. And he locked up. Now let me come do it to you and see what happens. You're going to do the same thing, because you, well, except for Pastor, just because I'm his son-in-law, and he would roll me up in a ball just to watch me bounce. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of humor. But we've got to realize the enemy wants to devastate your life. Whenever the Spirit of God begins to move in your heart and your life, all of a sudden the enemy of your soul, because you have something that is not nailed down, he squashes it and takes it away, because he wants to steal, to kill, and destroy anything that represents the other side. I'm here to tell you that the enemy wants you more than he wants anything else. He wants to cause devastation. He wants to cause depression. He wants to cause disillusion. He wants to cause distraction. He wants to cause division. What are these things? These are the devices of the enemy of your soul, the devices of the devil. It's time that we awaken. We shake ourselves when these devices begin to try and take hold in our heart, in our life, that we acknowledge them for what they are and say, enemy, you have no hold here, just as Jesus did. Amen. Up on the mount, we find in Matthew chapter 4, he was there in that place, and the enemy came and presented a stone. Aren't you hungry? Don't you know man's got to eat? Didn't stop there. Hey, why don't you climb up here on this temple with me? Up here on the very tip top. Throw yourself down. He'll send angels to save you, because you're important. How about bow down and just worship me, and I'll give you all of these things. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. I might not live in the very exact same situation letter from letter that you've experienced. But let me tell you somebody who has. The Word of God says he was tempted in all points. What does that cover? Does all leave anything out? Now, if it would have said some, that's not what the Scripture says. Some people want to say, well, that's why I just sin a little bit. Check the Word of God. Anything that begins to cause us, amen, any of these issues, deception, destruction, devastation, or causes you to create those in someone else's life, you could be a tool used by the enemy. But let me tell you, we don't have to stop here. Amen. It doesn't just start, amen, with the devices of the enemy. But we find, amen, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that there are some divine defenses. For our weapons are not of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We find in Hebrews 4:15, says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. That's where our defenses come in. It's because we have a man that's sitting in the armory waiting for you to step up and let him begin to prepare you for the battle that comes this week. Hallelujah. Amen. The divine defenses. One of them is declaration, comes from Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. It says, "For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Who are we? We are an individual, amen, that can have a declaration. I can stand before the enemy of our soul when he begins to try and come against us, amen, with deception. When he tries to come against us with discouragement, we can stand before him and declare, "I am a child of the King." In 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Who is that? That is you. I am of that royal priesthood. When the enemy comes against your soul, let him know who you are. Not only declaration, but also determination. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not as though I had already attained." He was already perfect. "But I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." What are some of those things? How about some devastation? How about, amen, a little bit of discouragement? How about some depression? We got to forget those things and press on. Hallelujah. "I count myself not to have apprehended, but I press towards that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. Another thing we've got is demonstration. Mark 16 and verse 17 says this, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up certain serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. But grab a hold of this, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." If we begin to grab a hold of what we've got in demonstration, we're supposed to have something inside of these old vessels that's supposed to be greater than what we're facing, supposed to be bigger than all the problems. Amen. I know a pastor that went to a man in his church that had just tested positive for COVID. He said, "Don't come over and see me right now." The pastor said, "I'm coming over, ready or not, here I come." Brother Chuck, no mask, no glasses, or no shield, no gloves. You know what he did? Seen him out. He said, I'll meet you out on the front porch. You can pray for me, right there. He said, "I'll be by." He didn't say, "Okay, I'll be by." Pulls up to the house, sees him out there, gets out of his car. Man steps off of his porch. You know what he did? Reached up, puts his hand upon him, and began to rebuke the attack of the enemy. You know, it wasn't 10 days later that all of his symptoms left. It wasn't 12 hours. It wasn't 2 days. It was within moments after he left. So many times we try to, I'll just skirt around this little thing. When we was over in Belize, Brother Jason, we walked in houses we weren't sure what we were walking into. People that you're praying for in the line, you don't know what they've got. We would talk amongst ourselves and say, "We're going to pray that the Holy Ghost anointing of God is going to be our barrier." What were we doing? Well, Chuck, we were getting out our staff, drawing ourselves in a circle, stepping there in and saying, "Lord, right here's where I need you to work and move right now." We have lost that, I'm afraid, because we have become discouraged because of the disillusion that the enemy has placed amongst us. But I want to encourage us that there is a demonstration and power that we can have. We find that in Acts 2, chapter 2, there it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were with one accord." And what happened? The place was shaken. The Holy Ghost came down. Why? They had just been equipped with some new defenses. Hallelujah.
Why don't we begin to arise and awaken and realize that there is something that we can obtain? Not only as a demonstration, but also there is a destination that we have been equipped with. Hebrews 11:16 says, but now they desire a better country. Amen. How many in here tonight is looking forward to a better place? Amen. A place where there is no more tears, where there is no more separation. Hallelujah. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Revelations 21 and verse 2, Sister Lindsay, if you get ready. And I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Anybody ever been to a wedding? What happens when we hear that wedding march? Go ahead and just roll that, Lindsay. Just the wedding march, just the beginning part of that. Just listen to that verse. What does that automatically make you want to do? Stand up. Well, Jason's running. He said he gave his vows once and is not doing it again. Why does it give you that boost? Oh, church, if we could just begin to hear the bells coming from heaven. Hear that trumpet. Amen. In the far distance. Amen. It's starting to get a little closer. What would happen is if all of a sudden the power and the Spirit of God begin to stir in your heart, if you'd begin to stand, amen, lift your hands and say, right here, right now, God, begin to pour in, because I have a destination. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And he will dwell with them. He wants to dwell with you. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Is he your God tonight? Why don't we stand? I've shared my heart with you tonight, church. I want to encourage you that there is a defense system that is out there. There is a divine, it's something that is special. It's something that is ready made for you, Sister Lisa. And it doesn't just, it's not just for you, but he's got one that's little Marion size over here, and London, and Jansen. But Mike, he's got one for me. He's got one for you. But we've got to be willing to acknowledge them and say, Lord, I need to be re-equipped. There's nothing wrong with that. And I need to be wise of the devices of the devil. Because if we are not careful, all he wants to do is just get a small fraction of something in there. If he doesn't have to completely cut something off, if he can just cause a blister, he's happy with that. Because all it might take is just a blister to keep you from coming to church. Or it might be a blister that just keeps you from talking to somebody. Something that has erupted between you. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Brothers, love your sisters. Sisters, love your brothers. People, let's love each other as Christ loves the church. Because whenever we begin to allow the love of God to flow through us, that's when the great divide is no longer. That's when that great sea is turned to glass. All of a sudden, we can be close to each other because there's the presence of God that is between us. Church, come up to the front of this sanctuary. It's just whole congregation. Let's line the front of this sanctuary tonight. Do something a little bit different. You can stand as families or individuals, however you feel. And I want you to look at the person to your left. I know some are still coming. Look to the person to your right. See? How's that work? It doesn't. We have to turn and be willing to connect with each other.